Now, we go over her head. She's a pharmacist in a f***ing grocery store. Let's go talk to the people who invented this drug in the first place. Because I bet they know it a lot better than she does.
So, the Scripps Research Institute is just a couple of hours away in San Diego. And that's a lot of gas money, but we decided it was worth it. It means we'll be eating free grocery store samples for dinner. But this is a good lead, no matter what Adora says. So we called ahead and made an appointment. And now we're sitting here outside the office of Dr. Isaac Norton. This is a weird place. It's a research institute, which sounds like a business, but feels like a university campus. There's students everywhere, and almost every room we've passed says lab on the door, and...
Hello. Are you the two students I'm meeting with?
Yes. Hello, doctor. I'm Christina, and this is Sophie. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Sup, doc?
It's my pleasure. My assistant tells me you're studying at NYU.
That's right.
Well, please, come in. Have a seat. What can I do for you?
First, I need to ask you if it's okay to record this conversation.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So, we had a question for you about a project you're working on with memory and neurons using a protein called actin?
Ah, yes, yes, the F-actin depolymerization process. Mm-hmm. We found that inhibiting polymerization in the dendritic spines can...
Whoa. The what now?
The which part?
All of it.
I'm sorry, I'll slow down. I just get so excited when I talk about this project. Let me start at the beginning. Our early experiments with insects, particularly bees, found that strong olfactory memories seem to be directly correlated with proper polymerization of actin in the dendritic spines. Naturally, it follows, and later experiments have proven, that forced depolymerization can inhibit not only memory formation, but recall as well. So, the actin, especially F-actin, for obvious reasons...
Doctor, I'm really not following you.
Am I speaking too quickly?
It's not the speed, it's the material itself. I don't actually know half the words you've been saying. What is depolymerit something?
Well, I'm confused. You did say that you were students, right?
Yeah.
I think I just assumed graduate-level students. Are you undergrads?
Yes.
In music.
I think I misheard you. Did you say you study music?
That's right, doctor. Sophie does performance, and I'm in music history.
Well...
With a minor in trumpet.
Oh, well, that's certainly not what I expected when I saw this meeting on my schedule.
We're searching for a serial killer.
Music students?
Look, have you seen in the news the last few days about someone called the Hollywood Killer?
Wait. I remember now. I talked to a music student last year asking about the same research project.
No, I think I misheard you. What?
Well, it was a music student, and I swear she was from NYU. Let me look in my calendar. I should still have it in here somewhere. Okay. Oh, yes, yeah. It's 13 months ago, actually. Christina Walsh, a student at NYU. 11 a.m. phone call on Tuesday, the 22nd of August.
Excuse me?
The f***? How many Christina Walshes are there?
Well, I remember the conversation clearly because I made the same mistake with her that I made with you. She asked about the F-actin depolymerization process for inhibiting memory. And I assumed she was in neuroscience, but she was in music. I don't recall which subject.
She can't be in NYU's music program. We'd know her.
Yeah.
Because you said your name was Christina as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my name is Christina Walsh. Doctor, are you... Is this a prank?
A prank?
Is this like a thing you do when people ask about memory erasure? You pretend that you already talked to them and then, ha-ha, that's what memory erasure would look like.
I'm a scientist, not a late-night DJ. I don't prank people.
Then why are you doing this?
Why am I doing what?
Did you use the memory thing on us? Mirandis?
What is Mirandis? What are you talking about?
Doctor, I'm Christina Walsh. You're telling us that you already talked to me about this a year ago.
That's impossible.
Did you give her the memory drug?
I would never...
Did you, give her a sample of the memory drug for her research? That she may have been exposed to, accidentally?
We spoke over the phone. I've never seen either of you in real life or even had the opportunity to give you or anyone else a sample of the drug. Plus, it's barely even a drug, just chemical, technically, at this point. And it doesn't just erase memories like a Star Trek episode. That's impossible. Now, the project we're working on inhibits the formation of memories related to methamphetamine addiction. And that's it. It's incredibly specific and incredibly limited. And frankly, I'm offended that you would suggest that I would drug someone.
I did not speak to you on the phone, Dr. Norton. I promise you. I haven't even been working on this project for that long. A year ago, I hadn't even found Leona McPherson yet.
Who?
She's the person I'm making this podcast about. She was a famous violinist who was murdered, and then everyone forgot about her, and I'm trying to figure out...
That's the name.
What?
Huh?
You mentioned that name when we talked on the phone. Leona McPherson disappeared from a hotel in Beverly Hills in 95 or something, and you wondered if the person who took her had used a drug to wipe the memories of everyone in the hotel. You asked if the chemical we work with could be aerosolized and spread through the ventilation system.
I don't even know the word aerosolized.
Well, I don't think you said it that way, but that's the word
you
that
means
what you...
listen to our show, don't you?
You have a show?
The podcast. You listen to it and now you're just... with us.
No, why would I do that? No, I assure you, I'm as confused by this as you are.
I discovered Leona McPherson 4 months ago. Gabriel Lopez introduced her to me when he found her CD in the back of the NYU radio archive. Prior to that, I had never heard of her.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, but I remember the conversation, and it's here in my calendar, and I have no reason to fake that. Now, if you'd like, I can get one of the IT guys up here to look at the calendar app and see if it's been tampered with.
You're damn right,
no,
I would like that.
There's an easier way. If I talked to you last year, Dr. Norton, I'll have saved the audio. I always save my audio, so if we had a whole conversation, I'll have it recorded somewhere. Okay, scrolling. Nothing here.
Young lady, this...
I barely have anything on my phone. Of course, it's not on the phone. I pull the files almost every night and transfer them to my laptop, which is where I do all the editing. Mm-hmm. The phone was just to make sure, but the laptop is the real test. Okay.
No, this isn't gonna work. If you had year-old files on there, you'd know. You'd have seen them before.
Do you know everything that's on your laptop? Every single file?
No, but I'm not obsessively collecting data for a pet project.
It's not here.
Well, maybe you weren't working on your podcast yet, though I do seem to recall you asking for permission to record.
If I called you, I recorded it. Okay, where's the external drive?
Why, do you want to hit him with it?
I record on the phone, I edit on the laptop, but I carry an external hard drive just in case we get so much audio the laptop can't hold it all.
Chris, you never even used it.
I don't even remember buying it.
I don't remember buying half the things I own. It's just late-stage capitalism. We buy stuff all the time.
Here it is. Okay, okay, so this is... Oh.
Holy sh**.
Is it there?
I don't know yet. There's way too much to sort through.
That's like 20 folders!
And every one is filled with... Here it is. Dr. Isaac Norton, August 22nd. Good morning, Dr. Norton. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
No, it's my pleasure. You're an NYU student?
Yes. I was wondering if you could tell me a little about your memory inhibition project, the one that uses actin?
Oh, yes, the F-actin depolymerization process. We found that inhibiting polymerization in the dendritic spines can prevent certain experiences from entering long-term memory. This is primarily useful with experiences of methamphetamine usage, because the nature of that stimulant means that this polymerization process takes much longer than normal. Using chemicals to inhibit that process, we found that you can stimulate...
I'm sorry. I don't understand anything you're saying.
Oh, what type of neuroscience did you say you were studying?
Music history. With a minor in trumpet.
That's what jogged my memory, the trumpet thing.
How is this possible?
It's not.
Look at these files. I have months of research in here. Interviews with music professors, interviews with police. Here's a conversation with Tracy Clark, the archive lady at the LAPD. I've got 3 different audio files from her. Look! I've got the scans she sent me of the case files. I had all of it, this whole project from a year ago, and I don't remember any of it.
We share a dorm room. If you've done any of this work, I'd know about it.
Well, then where did it come from? Where did all these files come from?
And I don't know.
Why don't I remember them? And why don't any of these people remember me? What the hell is going on?
Chris, calm down. I'm sure there is a plausible explanation for all this.
Like hypnotism.
What?
Well, I'm quite literally the world expert on memory inhibition, so I can tell you with absolute certainty that the effect you're describing is not a drug. We don't have the technology now, and we definitely didn't have it in 95, so I'm trying to think of other ways to get rid of memories, and all I can think of is maybe hypnotism.
Hypnotism?
No, it's only a theory. I'm brainstorming.
We're done here. Come on, Chris, let's go.
What's going on?
I said let's go.
Wait, no, this is getting interesting.
No, off!
Hey, we're here to see Henry Feinberg.
Sure, do you know if he's expecting you?
So, I still don't know what's going on with those old files. And believe it or not, we did talk to a hypnotist, and that's coming up later. And no, his name is not the Great Mirandis or something really easy like that. None of this has been easy. But before we get into any of that, we really need to share this clip, which came because we got a call from the hospital. Feinberg had recovered and asked to see us.
Hello? Mr. Feinberg?
Come in.
Hi. How are you feeling?
Broken.
Heart attacks can be pretty rough.
It's not the heart attack. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Do you mind if we record this again? I hate to even ask, but,
Girls, after what you did for me, you can record me, you can do video, you can shave my head, anything you want. Sell me to a zoo, I don't even care. You gave me my life back.
So you remember Carmelo?
Remember him? I remember everything about him. Well, not everything. It's still trickling in, but he's there. For the first time in...
We think it might be a... Well, we don't know what it might be. The memory thing, I mean. We're trying to figure it out, but it's... I'm really sorry.
The doctors say it's traumatic memory suppression. That my mind wasn't equipped to handle Carmelo's death, so it blocked it all out. And now that it's been a few years, the memories are starting to come back.
Dude, don't we wish it was that easy?
What do you mean?
Well, I can believe that you, for example, might have some traumatic memory suppression, but everyone you've ever met, all of your friends, all of your neighbors and business associates, everyone who ever worked with Carmelo at the theater or a studio, even me, apparently. Nobody remembered him and nobody remembered any of these others. Traumatic memory loss is real, but it's rare and it's personal. There's literally no possible way that it could affect this many people in this many places with this level of specificity.
So, what happened?
We have been assured by several people that it is not a drug.
Some more politely than others.
But we know that it's something, and we know that it's powerful. It even hit me, it turns out. I forgot all kinds of stuff, and that's super violating, actually. I don't know, I'm still trying to process it.
Who did you forget?
I forgot myself. Or I guess I could say that I forgot what I did. It turns out I already did a ton of research on the Hollywood Killer before he was even called the Hollywood Killer, and I've got hours of recordings and interviews and who knows what else. I haven't had the time to listen to all of it yet. And I don't remember a word of it. Sophie doesn't remember overhearing it. None of us remembers anything, and you don't remember your husband, and this is freaking me out, and
okay,
I'm really sorry.
Okay, let's take a step back for a minute. Everybody, breathe.
Is it really supernatural? Is this like a ghost who eats memories or something? Is that a thing?
Let's focus on what we know. If you don't mind me asking, Mr. Feinberg, do you know how they came back? Your memories, I mean?
It was when we were talking. You said something about the little things, like how he used to talk or act, or the foods he used to like, ironically. I don't recall exactly what you said, but something just snapped, and it all came flooding back like a dam had broken in my mind.
Okay. But what did it feel like?
What do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. I'm trying to analyze the mechanism of memory recovery without having any idea how the process works or what vocabulary I should use to describe it. What was the first memory that came back? How did it come back? How can we do it again with someone else?
I don't remember the first thing that came. It was a jumble of big events and little details, sights and sounds and textures. And it's not all back. I can tell you what he wore the day we went to a brand new Italian place in South Pass, but nothing about what he used to eat for breakfast. Yogurt, cold cereal. I'm half convinced I've never seen him eat breakfast at all. But I know that can't be true. I just have to hope that some of those memories will return eventually. And if not, honestly, I'm grateful to have any of it back at all.
I'm grateful as well.
Is there, Mr. Feinberg, does the word Mirandus mean anything to you?
Mirandus?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that it does. Is it a show Carmelo did?
Oh, I don't think so. Does it sound like one?
Well, it has kind of a mystical quality to it, like a Cirque du Soleil show. Mirandus.
I've for sure fallen asleep during some experimental theater performances before, but I don't think one could erase 10,000 memories.
Well, I've never heard of it. Or maybe I have, and those are just some of the memories that haven't come back yet. Do you really think it's supernatural?
Maybe. Does that sound crazy?
I'm a licensed astrologer, and I used to work at a crystal shop in Burbank. I don't believe everything, but you got to get pretty deep into the weeds to find a supernatural theory that I'll reject out of hand.
Flat Earth?
I'm not an idiot, honey, but I am a realist, and I think it's laughably unrealistic for anyone, even an entire civilization, to claim that they already know everything about everything. As a species, we know shockingly little about the world. We don't even know why we cry. I mean, emotional tears, not basic eye maintenance. We know that basal tears protect your eyes. But emotional tears are different, right down to the chemical level. And nobody knows why we do it. Biologically speaking, there's no benefit to it. It's not an evolutionary advantage to leak from your face when you're happy or sad. And yet here I am, thinking about Carmelo and just gushing like a faucet. So are you. And obviously, I know that the existence of tears doesn't prove the existence of magic. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if we don't even understand one of the most basic fundamental experiences of human life, how can we dare to say what is or isn't possible about the rest of the world?
Our meeting with Henry Feinberg was short but powerful. In all the time we've spent working on this podcast and studying this case, he was the first person we've ever encountered who lost and then recovered his memory of one of the victims. Hi, Christina here. I was just editing this episode together and I got to that part and I realized that it was false. Completely and utterly. We've talked to dozens of people who've lost their memories and found evidence of hundreds, if not thousands, more. It looks like I've lost some of my memories as well, but we've also talked to plenty of others who have gotten their memories back. We just didn't realize it at the time. One of them is Blake Hensley. You might remember him from the first episode. He was the first police officer on the scene when Leona McPherson's body was found. And though I didn't think anything of it at the time, he said that he'd forgotten Leona. Let me play you the clip.
I admit that I did not remember this case at all until you sent me those files.
That seemed very normal to me when he said it. He worked on the force for nearly 50 years, and he saw a lot of crazy stuff, and it seems very natural to forget the details of a case from 28 years prior. But back when we made that first episode, we hadn't yet realized the degree to which memory, and the lack of it, would become a factor in this story. And if this external hard drive can be believed, I've got an entire conversation with Hensley from last year where he didn't remember a single thing about the case. Just a blank wall. So he clearly forgot about her and then remembered her, and that implies a lot of things. But it all boils down to this. Did Hensley forget Leona in a normal, natural way? Or was it a part of this same unexplained phenomenon? Hensley himself declined to talk to us again. Apparently, some of you are harassing him for his participation in the first episode, calling him a bad cop and corrupt and that sort of thing. Really terrible stuff. And if you're doing it, you should knock it off because that's not okay. Seriously. But I was still able to do some follow-up on his story, thanks to our old friend, Tracy Clark.
LAPD, this is Tracy Clark.
Hi, Tracy, it's me again.
Ha. How can I help you? It's not about eyeballs, is it?
I promise you it's not about eyeballs.
Because the first time you called, it was about eyeballs, and then when you came into the station this morning, you were trying to talk about eyeballs again.
It's about paperwork.
Paperwork that mentions eyeballs?
I definitely don't think so. All I want to know is if your officers ever have to file some kind of year-end review kind of stuff. Reports on how many reports they've done, that kind of stuff.
Yes, they do. Monthly and yearly.
Do you have those personal review reports from Officer Blake Hensley in 1994?
Why do you need that information?
I'm trying to help find a serial killer, Tracy. We're on the same side.
Give me a minute.
Is she looking it up or getting a restraining order?
Shh.
Miss Walsh?
Yes, ma'am?
Do you have a number I can fax this to?
Are you kidding? It's 2022.
Do you want this stuff or not?
Can you email it to me?
It is easier to fax it.
You do not understand how that is possible.
Take it or leave it.
Okay, hang on. Let me see if the motel clerk has a fax machine.
Or maybe he's got a pterodactyl who can peck it into stone tablets.
Come on, Sophie.
Who the fuck still has a fax machine?
So the clerk did, in fact, have a fax machine.
I didn't even think they were real.
We read through the files Tracy sent over.
It was like asking if he had a magic wand, and then him saying yes and casting a spell with it.
Come on, this is important.
What?
Shh. We read through the files Tracy sent us and found that after the initial discovery of the body and the first two-thirds or so of the internal affairs investigation, Hensley never mentioned Leona again. Not when he wrote up his end-of-March review cataloging all the cases he had worked on during the month. Not when he wrote up the same report again in April. Not when he wrote the year-end report for all of 1994. He meticulously recorded every phone call, every traffic stop, every single case he was a part of. But there is not a word about Leona. And I want to be clear about this. That's not corruption, and it's not incompetence. Officer Henley was hit by the exact same inexplicable memory wipe phenomenon as everyone else in this case. He hung on longer than most, maybe thanks to the internal investigation. But sooner or later, he and all of them forgot, just like everybody else, just like me. And that is a big friggin' deal. But you know what's an even bigger deal? He eventually remembered. Just like Feinberg remembered Carmelo, the guy in my DMs said it takes a while for Mirandus to wear off. And whatever that means, it is happening. And it's happening more, and it's happening more quickly. And I think we need to go back to some of the people we already tried to talk to. I think it's time to go back to Catherine.
You can't be serious.
Sophie, I'm trying to record a voiceover. It's like a disembodied narration, free of time and space. You're not supposed to talk in the middle of it.
Then why are you recording it at a coffee shop?
Because I'm trying to get some human interest in here, so it's not just all disembodied voices and empty rooms.
Well, if you're interested in humans, here's a fun fact. We need to leave Catherine alone. Are you trying to give another old person a heart attack?
You saw how grateful Feinberg was. You don't want Catherine to remember her daughter?
A week ago, you thought she killed her daughter in a death cult.
A week ago, I didn't know how widespread this memory thing was. Even we lost memories. I recorded dozens of hours of audio in our dorm room last year that's completely gone from our minds. How can you not want to help everyone who lost something get it all back? None of these people are perpetrators any more than we are. They're victims. Not of murder, but of some kind of mind violation.
You think we're in a science fiction movie?
I think you've seen all the same evidence I have, and you should be a little more open to the idea that something inexplicable is happening here.
And you drew this entire massive conclusion based on one cop forgetting about a case.
And one guy forgetting his husband, and one music professor forgetting his favorite violinist, and all those art people Lamar talked to forgetting their favorite artist. Thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands. Memories are coming back, and I can't explain it. But I can sure as hell point to a giant pile of evidence that shows that it's real.
Okay, so what is it then? A ghost? Can ghosts steal memories?
I don't know. I don't know how this works. And holy crap. Is that a glass eye?
What?
Creepy tall guy, 6 o'clock. He has a glass eye. Don't just look at him. Look casually.
Watch how smooth this is. Mm-hmm. Hey, can we get a waiter over here?
Holy crap, you're right.
I know, right?
That's a weird freaking glass eye, too. Hang on.
Okay.
I need some napkins, table four.
Shh.
Yeah, that's like literally a glass marble just shoved in a guy's eye socket. Most glass eyes are like flat little cover things. You can barely tell the difference.
Because your uncle has one?
Because my uncle has one. It's like a little prosthetic that goes like a piece of an eggshell.
This one looks like a purple marble.
Is it the guy?
Of course it's not the guy. What are the odds that the actual Hollywood killer is in the exact same Starbucks at the exact same time as...
He's coming toward us.
What?
Shut up. He's coming here. Did he hear us talking about him? Crap. Act casual.
Can we get some damn napkins over here? Hello? Oh, hello, sir. It's a fine day in this, city. Tinseltown. The city of angels, yeah.
Excuse me, ladies. Do you mind if I sit down?
What?
We weren't talking about you.
Of course you were. I'm the Hollywood killer. Is this the device you're recording on?
I have mace and a rape whistle and a direct...
I'm not going to hurt you. I've been listening to your show.
You can't kidnap us right in the middle of the street.
Of course I could. And no one would ever know. You could yell and scream and even break things. You could knock over this table. But as soon as we leave their sight, everyone on this street would forget that you or I ever existed. You've been researching me for over a year now. Surely you've seen enough to know that I'm not exaggerating. But I'm not here to hurt you. You're of no value to me. The cellist, maybe, in a few years. But by then, none of this will matter. No. I have a question for you. I want to know if you've been contacted by anyone who claims to have knowledge of me.
What?
Listen to me, you limp nobody. You think you could just muscle in here and scare us with this tough guy act and that freaky-ass marble thing in your face that we're just gonna fold over and do anything you tell us to?
It's a very simple question. And I asked it politely. The Ember Wizard is searching for me.
The Ember Wizard? Did a D&D campaign kill your parents or something?
I could torture the answers out of you, but I'd prefer to do it simply.
Yes, we were contacted. Somebody DM'd me a few nights ago. We thought it was you.
What did he say?
That he was glad somebody was onto you, that it takes Miranda's a while to wear off.
That is the problem, isn't it? Do you know where to find this man?
He didn't give us any contact info.
He will. I'll keep listening. And if I need you again, I know where to find you.
Who are you?
Did you ever read fairy tales as a child?
Yeah, I did.
Good. And in those stories, there is a child lost in the woods, or a princess abandoned in the wilderness, alone and helpless. And what else is there in those stories? What is it, Christina? What fills those stories with dread and danger?
A witch? Or a monster?
Exactly. You asked who I am, Miss Sophie. I am the witch. I am the creature. I am the giant in the haunted castle who grinds men's bones to make his bread. And I can grind yours at any time and any place I choose. But don't worry. You won't remember any of this.
Like hell I won't!
Sophie!
What the?
Oh my God.
Is that pepper spray?
This is the Hollywood killer! Get him!
He got away! Where'd he go? It's like he disappeared.
Jeez, lady, calm down. You knocked over our table.
He dropped something. Is this a music box? I think it fell out of his pocket.
Ma'am, are you hurt?
Call the police. Ask for Officer... Oh, crap! What's her name? All I remember is Funshine.
There's no need for the police.
No need? Are you kidding me? That was the Hollywood killer! We need... forensic information! Security camera footage! Crap! There's probably fingerprints on this music box! Why did I touch it?
The Hollywood killer? Ma'am, everyone here is just drinking their coffee.
No, I mean the guy that ran away.
He knocked over a table, ma'am. That doesn't make him the Hollywood killer. But both him and you are disturbing our patrons, so I'm asking you again to leave the cafe.
Sophie, tell him!
Who are you?
What?
How do you know my name?
Sophie, this isn't funny!
No, it's not, so stop doing it.
Sophie!
Ma'am, do you know this girl?
I've never seen her before in my life.
Sophie, we've lived together for 2 years. How do you not remember me?